Right, we're up to question five now. And Judy, you have drawn the first response. So here it is, Judy. Question five. As AI and medical advances improve life for people with vision loss, what core principles should guide the RNZFB's future strategy?
I think starting with the wrong person on this one. As far as AI goes, I think we need to keep a very open mind about it and take it on face value rather than thinking it's going to fix everything and be the tool of the future that's going to be fully accurate and the best thing for everybody since breakfast. But I think we need to be really cautious around AI. I'm not a fan in a lot of ways. I don't use it a lot, but I don't like the way sometimes it changes my texts when I send them. As far as medical advances go, we need to keep in touch with medical advances. We need to know what is happening in the physiology world of eye conditions and also research world around eye conditions and what the future looks like for different kinds of eye health and be really up to speed with the eye health area so that we can make good decisions based on our membership, our service delivery and our what we're doing, our strategic plans to incorporate these things into our thinking and not just say, well, they're no good because it doesn't work for me.
Thanks,
They actually
Jane.
be really good for a lot of other people, and many could benefit from them and save us some money.
Thank you, Judy. And question five next is for Lātua
AI is already here, and the foundation is already utilizing artificial intelligence through its digital use of our books and so forth. And I think it's a great tool that is useful for a lot of people. It can be used straight away to assist all age groups, in particular our aging population and our who make up most of our membership. So artificial intelligence is good. There's areas that we should be cautious about, but I think it's a great opportunity for the foundation to go into it and actually utilize it and ensure that there are safety safeguards so that people are not I guess using it in the wrong way and bringing harm to others and themselves.
Thank you, Lātua. And question five is for you, Clive Lansing.
Well, first of all, we need to have a thorough understanding of how being blind or having low vision, how that prevents us from participating fully in society. And this is going to change over time with new developments that will let us do things that we couldn't do before. And we have to just be up to date with those changes and really understand them from the point of view of blind people. That's why having lived experience and involving blind people in decision making is going to be so important. So we really have to evaluate these products as they come out, from the point of view of blind people, to see what works, to see what really makes a difference, and then integrate that that knowledge into our service delivery program. So when we're teaching mobility, for example, and we have got good technology for wayfinding and obstacle avoidance, then that's got to be part of the mobility program going forward, but only once we've done those evaluations.
Thank you, Clive. Paul Brown, you're next with question five.
I think we need to embrace this new technology. I'm sure, I know there was people when Braille first appeared went, what's this newfangled thing? It will never catch on. Or when we first decided to use white canes, you know. So science, society moves and evolves. And it always starts with, you know, what is it that blind, deafblind or low vision people need to do and want technology to help with? And I think that's got to be the starting point. Blind, deafblind people and people with low vision need to evaluate technology, need to feed in how they use it to blind, low vision. It needs to be part of service delivery, and we need to look at and be honest about, I think, what it can and can't do. In terms of medical advances, look, I find this one quite difficult because as a lifelong blind person, if I had three wishes, none of them would be to see. It's not where I'm at, but I accept for some people that these advances are important. We need to keep abreast of them. We need to give people real choices. But the choice shouldn't be, can I be magically cured, or am I going to live the, you know, a life of tragic darkness? You know, the blind low vision RNZFB have a duty to kind of demonstrate and help blind people see that actually being blind isn't a hellish thing, that they can still live the life that they choose.
Thank you, Paul. And Jody Cruikshank, you're last to answer question five.
I think with medical advances, for a starter, we should be staying abreast of those sort of things and be able to inform our people about any advances of what's happening and what they can do to be able to access some of those advances that are happening in the world. It would be, you know, a great opportunity for someone to be able to, if they've got the option to be able to do that sort of thing, then take advantage of it, and for us to be abreast of it and be able to follow what's available there and have the, be able to share that information. AI, I think there's so many things we can do with AI and so many options for people to be able to keep them to be more independent. There's also, you know, so it's just endless, so I could go on about AI quite a bit. It's really good option for people, even with, because I mean, with blind, low vision, it can be quite isolating, and for well-being, you can chat to an AI and just, and be able to use that as a sort of help you build confidence and working your way into other areas. And it's useful in lots of like reading your mail and stuff like that. So there's lots of things you can do with AI, and I think we should need to be more active around informing our people about it and getting people confident in it.
Thank you, Jody.